Let us receive it with gladness in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Praise God. I was asked about something the other day, and I thought about it some, and of course I explained it some then, but I thought, you know, it's been a while probably, and in the sense, and I don't know that I've ever really just taught it out. Put my little Jesus right there, because he's a big Jesus, and that's just a little statue, and he's so big, right? Amen. Come on now. All right. But anyway, I want to talk to you. We're going to talk about the Sabbath today. Okay? I'm just going to do a little teaching. We'll not take a long time. I want to let you get home before things start going on. By the way, we've already spoken over you and over this place and over everything else. And so you don't have anything to worry about whatsoever, because God's got this thing. And once we speak it out, it has to obey. Right? According to the Word of God. But I want you to go with me. Go with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And here is when God is giving the Ten Commandments of the Old Testament. And we're going to just jump down to verse 8 since we're talking about the Sabbath. And it simply says this: remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, when we talk about Sabbath, a lot of times, folks, you know, there's all kinds of different views. According to Jewish calendars and Jewish traditions, during their time, the Sabbath was actually held on Saturday, what we would know as Saturday. Now, we as the church, we've established Sunday, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But there's one normally the Saturday, and that's one of the things that confuses people when it comes to the Easter and the crucifixion, because the Bible talks about that they took him down because the next day was the Sabbath. So they think he was crucified on Friday before the weekly Sabbath. You see, this is the weekly Sabbath that God's establishing here. But as you read on through the Word of God, again, I'll just explain it a little bit. I don't want to teach a lot on it. But if you read on through the Word of God, you find out that there were other holy days that were called Sabbaths also. One of those was the Passover. And so when you study out the words, you find out that Jesus was crucified there the next day was the Passover. And so they took him down, and that was on a Wednesday. And that's how you can get 3 days and three nights from the time of crucifixion to the time of resurrection. Jesus literally rose from the grave sometime between 6 o'clock Saturday night and 6 o'clock Sunday morning. Okay, so a lot of people get, they when it comes to the Sabbath, they get messed up. Now, there's also a lot of people that are still, they wonder, is Saturday supposed to be the Sabbath day? Is that when we keep Sabbath? You know, that's what they did in the Bible. And, you know, here's the thing, folks. You have to be able to rightly divide the Word of truth and understand the difference between Old Testament and New Testament. See, because if you start going back to Old Testament and start trying to keep old laws out of the Old Testament, then you're putting yourself under the old law, and therefore you've got to keep it all. That's an impossible thing to do. That's why we have the new law, the New Testament, the new covenant. Okay? But the Word says that if you fail at one part, you failed it at all. And so, you know, a lot of people try to combined all this, and of course there's those folks that'll try to get over and start trying to do all the Jewish customs and Jewish traditions. You know, I'm a Jew that's been grafted in. According to the New Testament, okay? God chose to graft us into the Jewish family, to the family of God. Now, just because I've been grafted in doesn't mean I have to go back and get under the old law. Matter of fact, the whole point of Jesus coming to this earth was to help to try to bring God's people out from under the old law over into the new covenant of grace. Matter of fact, the Lord Jesus himself said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. I've come so that we can close that chapter. Now, understand, the Old Testament is still great. The Bible calls it a schoolmaster for us. In other words, we can go back, see examples, learn from that. We preach from it. Nothing wrong with that. But we're not under those laws anymore. We're under the New Testament that was made, the new covenant, through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Under the Old Covenant, it was the blood of animals. Under the New Testament, it was the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. He literally went to the Holy of Holies in heaven and sprinkled His blood upon the heavenly altar once and for all, so there would never again be a sacrifice for sin. Okay? So when you start talking about Sabbath, people get, you know, if we're not careful, we can get real religious. Okay? And when we start getting religious and we start getting stern about some things, we have to be real careful. Remember what the Bible says about Joseph when Mary was pregnant there. He says one of the translations says he was a real stern man. He was stern about things. You remember he was going to put her away privately. He didn't want to make an example of her. But at the same time, he was stern about it till God spoke to him. And God said, don't you be afraid to take her, you know, as your wife, because that child that's been conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Okay? So we have to be careful that we don't get so stern. Now, we're sticklers for the Word, no doubt about that. But let's make sure that we're sticklers the way we should be, because when we talk about the Sabbath here, anywhere you look through here, you'll find out that the word Sabbath means an intermission. Everybody knows what intermission is, right? Remember, you know, when we were young, you got to go to the drive-ins. How many of y'all remember going to the drive-in watching a movie? See, you young folk, you're missing out on a lot of it. I mean, you know, that was one of the funnest things you could do is go to the drive-in movie. And they had the humps there and pull your car up on that, look at that big screen. But after a movie, then they would have a break and it would say it's intermission time. And they'd tell you to come into the place and they'd have food over there, popcorn, what all that stuff. But it meant it's time to take a break. Okay? So when God established the Sabbath, notice that He told them, I don't want anybody working. Nobody, not even the animals, I don't want them doing anything. Why? Because He wanted them to have an intermission from everyday life. He wanted them to set aside a day for them to rest. And as they rested, they could recognize Him and reverence Him. Okay? Now, we'll talk about this a little bit more as we go along, because Jesus comes and says some things. But I just want to get that to you to help you to understand what the Sabbath was, when it was established, of course, in the Ten Commandments. But then jump over here with me to Exodus 16. Back up just a little bit. And really, God started it here with manna. He began to represent it here with manna. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 11, He's talking about it. And it says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at evening you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. It came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. Basically what that says is, what is it? What is it? You know, they said it's manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man, according to the number of your persons, take ye every man for them which are in his tent. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. notwithstanding, they hearkened not to Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said to them, "This is that which the Lord has said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and seethe that which you will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning." And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither were there any worm therein. And Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days shall ye gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none." And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore, he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." And the people rested on the seventh day. Again, it's almost the same thing as what he repeated in the Ten Commandments. But I want you to notice here that God said, you know, if you're going to keep the Sabbath, then what you do is on the day before the Sabbath, you make sure you get everything prepared before the Sabbath. Now, this was the law. They had to do that. That's what they noticed. Some tried to break the law. They thought they could go out on the seventh day and find something. And that wasn't God's plan. God's plan was for them to work 6 days and then have that one day off. So when manna was given, then they could get it. Okay, on the Sabbath, it was not given. Now, jump over. I'm trying to show you some things. Jump over with me to Isaiah 58. Because, see, the people got so unthankful, is a good word, that they were murmuring about the manna. If you remember reading that in the Word of God, they began to complain and say, "We remember the cucumbers and the leeks that we had back in Egypt, and they were wanting to go back." And they kept talking about meat, and they kept getting themselves in trouble. And so they were at a place that they did not really want to keep God's law. And it shows up here in Isaiah chapter 58. We're just going to begin to read in verse 1 here. It says, "Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness, and forsake not the ordinances of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, they say, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high." Now, notice what he's saying. He's saying, you know, the people are acting like that they're following me and they're expecting me to do what I said I would do, but they're not doing what they are supposed to be doing the way they're supposed to be doing it. That's what God's saying. He's saying they're acting like they're doing it and they're thinking that they should get rewarded for it, but he said they're not fasting the way I told them to fast. They're still doing everything they wanted to do, and a lot of times they're doing it for profit. Okay, when you do a fast before the Lord, I understand that we do partial fast and that kind of thing. But when you're doing a fast, you're not just doing a fast. You know, I mean, it's okay if you're trying to lose weight to fast some. But if you do an actual fast before the Lord, you need to do it to the Lord. Amen. You go to God. You tell God, "God, I am giving up this because I want to reverence you with it." If you fast all day, that's if fast 3 days, whatever it is you fast, you do it unto the Lord. And you know, you don't go around bragging about it. It's all right to tell somebody. I've been out on fast before and somebody goes, "Let's go get something to eat." And I just have to, you know, I'll say, "I can't, I'm fasting." you know, I'm not saying that so they can go, oh, he's that. No, I'm just letting them know this is why I can't go eat with you. You know, it ain't like I don't like to eat, right? Come on now, you know. And so they're just doing it for show a lot of times. And he goes on, he says, is it such a fast that I've chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day unto the Lord? Is not this the fast I've chosen? To loose the bands of the wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and to let ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hidest not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall bring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, if thou draw out of thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorers of paths to dwell in. If thou shalt turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And I wanted to read all that chapter so you could see the whole context of what's going on. Basically, they're acting like they're serving God, but they're not serving God. They're acting like they're fasting, but they're not fasting the way God has told them to fast. And he says, if you'll do that, if you'll start fasting the way I want you to fast, then you're going to start seeing things change and turn around. Matter of fact, he goes on to say, you're going to be those that will restore the breaches. What's he talking about there? He's talking about you're going to start building back things that have been lost over the years. I'm going to tell you something, church. There's some things that have been lost just over the last 20 years. Come on, there's principles and morals and morality that's just, I mean, it's been lost. And somebody's got to stand up and restore. And God's looking for us to. Now, we're still in Old Testament here now. But he's still telling me, he said, listen, if you quit doing what you want to on my Sabbath and make it a holy day once again, then you're going to find out that it'll be a delight to you. And I'll make sure that you're a delight. You see, a lot of times, and to translate over in today, how many folks do you know that say they're children of God, but they don't come to church on Sunday? Come on, they don't honor God. Their neighbors can see them not going to church. Come on, we're supposed to be a light that everybody sees, right? We're supposed to be the light of the world. He says, you don't put it under a basket. You put it on a candlestick so everybody can see your good works. And glorify not you, but your Father which is in heaven. So here I wanted to show you how they were not keeping the Sabbath the way they were supposed to, and God rebuked them over it. Now, I want you to jump over now to the New Testament, because we've been in the Old Testament with the Sabbath. Now let's go look and see how the Lord Jesus handles some things concerning the Sabbath, because I want us to get to this part to see it. Mark chapter 2 and verse 23. Says, it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said to him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said to them, Have you never read what David did when he had need and was an hungered, he and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful for to eat, but for the priest, and gave also to them that were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Now see, that's key right there when it comes to the New Testament. What the Lord Jesus was saying here is this, that the Sabbath is more than just a tradition. Okay? He's telling them they're sticklers for the law. You're not supposed to do anything. They're not supposed to be gathering something to eat on there. And Jesus gives them an example where David did it under the Old Testament and was okay. And then Jesus says something very, very plain. He said that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And what he was saying in that was this. God gave man a day to rest. He did not make that day of rest so man had to adhere to that. See what he was saying? He didn't make what Jesus was trying to say. Yes, it's the Sabbath, a time of rest, but we got to eat. Okay? And besides that, they're with me. And I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Now here's the thing. Here's what I want you to understand in all that is this. Any day you pick that you set aside the time to be with Jesus can be your Sabbath. Because Jesus said it wasn't made for man to have to be strictly adhered to, but it was made so that man could have a Sabbath time. So understand this. If you decide to have Wednesday night church, Wednesday night is just as holy as Sunday morning because it's about Him in the first place. It's not about the day. See, people get all hung up. Should it be Saturday? Should it be Sunday? Well, what happens if you've got a job where you have to work all weekend all the time? What are you going to do about your Sabbath? You love the Lord God with all your heart. I tell you what you do. You set aside a day and that's your Sabbath. Because you are worshiping the Lord of the Sabbath. See, folks want to get technical. Is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? Why is it? Well, you all understand that the Western Church they picked Sunday. Anybody seen in the Bible where it says Sunday's the day that we're going to worship God? No, but it's just the day set aside. Okay, it's the day man decided. We're going to worship God on this day and set this day aside, and it can be a Sabbath for us. A day, it's going to be an intermission from our everyday life so that we can worship God on this day. Okay? You think about through the week. People have church on Tuesday nights. People have church on Wednesday nights. People have church on Thursday nights. They have all kinds of nights, right? And those are just as holy a service as Sunday morning. But see, a lot of times religious folk think Sunday morning's only it. That's why you only see people come on Sunday morning. They think everything's good if they just come on Sundays. Come on now. Some folks that religiously keep Sunday are in worse shape than people that don't go to church on Sunday and have to grab a Wednesday night every now and then. Amen. It's true. You know, it's not what people want to hear because it's not about that day. Sunday is no holier than Wednesday. Although folks seem to categorize it that way. Sunday is no more important than Wednesday because each one of those is a day that's set aside to worship the Lord. Now, I understand on Wednesday, we come on Wednesday night because people do work. But can't we designate a couple hours on a Wednesday night through the week and say, this is holy unto the Lord. This is a Sabbath that we're going to take. We're going to take an intermission. We're going to quit mowing the yard. We're going to quit weed eating. I wish they'd quit playing ball and whatever other sports they were doing. Because that's what the world does. But God says we need to take an intermission. We need to take a rest from what we've been doing and reverence Him and worship Him. Okay? So it's more than just a tradition that we do it on Sunday. It's really more of an attitude of the heart that we want to worship God and pick a day and set aside an intermission day for the Lord God. Really, if you look in the Word of God, one of the things that you're going to find out is this. Jesus, as He's preaching and teaching throughout the New Testament there, you'll find out that He actually repeated all of the Ten Commandments that God had originally given, except one. Did you know that? All the rest of them, at various times, he repeated them. When people would ask him a question, you know, remember the rich young ruler, good master, what good thing should I do? And he tells them, you know, he's given him commandments of Ten Commandments. The one that was not repeated by the Lord Jesus was remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Jesus did not repeat that one. You know why? He's Lord of the Sabbath. It's the day that you choose to worship Him. It's not a day, but a time. Can we say it that way? It's a time set aside for you to worship the Lord. Amen. Sometimes we're living in trying times. Sometimes some jobs require people to work 7 days a week and sometimes 12 hours a day on those. They've got to find a time in there that they take an intermission and take some time with God. They might not get a day. They may just get a few hours or an hour. Or you understand what I'm saying. But see, I would rather find somebody that takes an hour in the afternoon to find quality time with God than somebody that sits Sunday all together and then they sit back here through church and they're looking at their phone. Right? Wondering where they're going to eat after church is over. And they're not interested in worshiping God whatsoever. Well, they spent a quantity of time. They came, spent 2 hours, but they didn't spend any quality time with God. Come on now. Anybody that knows anything knows quality time is better than quantity time. Right? Come on. So, you know, when we start looking at the Sabbath and people start, you know, fighting over when to have it and what to have it and what is it, and what we understand now more than ever that God established it for man to be able to have an intermission. Not to bring down rules and regulations on him, but so that he'll take it some time because he said, you're working 6 days a week. How about taking that seventh day and resting and reverencing me? And let's make it a holy day unto me, a day that you worship me. What seventh day is that? It don't matter. As long as the Lord is the one that you're making it to. Because He's Lord of the Sabbath. Now, when we start looking at that, here's something I wrote down and it just kind of came to me as I was studying this thing out and thinking about it. The New Testament Sabbath is not a day, but an act of obedience to God to set aside a time to step away from the things of the world and reverence Him. That just kind of, as I was meditating on this, that's just kind of what came up in my spirit. That we reverence the Lord, setting aside that time. It's an act of obedience toward God. That I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to set a time, no matter how busy my life is, no matter what I got going on, I'm going to take a time and set it aside, making sure that I take an intermission and reverence Him for who He is. Church, you can get so busy in this life that you can just busy God out. How many of y'all remember Mark Duplantis' message that he preached that time about busy? Bound under Satan's yoke. And sometimes that's what busy does to us. It binds us and gets us to the place. And no wonder people are so unhappy. No wonder people are so angry. No wonder there's such craziness in the world. We've gone away from having that day that we reverence God. That time that we take an intermission and say, God, this is all about You. I'm going to put You first in my life. You know. And so as we close this thing out, let me just say this and then we'll close it. Establishing a time of worship and reverence to God is the most important thing in the life of a believer. It's the most important thing for you to establish a time. Now, when that time is, that's up to you. That's between you and God. But you need to set that time. And you can set that time. Well, this is the schedule that job makes. Now, if you have an opportunity to make your own schedule, then make it. Make sure you're here with us on Sunday. Amen. Make sure you're here with us on Wednesday. But see, a lot of folks will schedule things. Come on now. Right? They'll schedule things on Sundays. They'll schedule things on Wednesdays. And knowing very well that we have church on both days. Some folks don't want to give up their Saturdays, so they'll schedule something on a Sunday. You know, and they take the time away from the Lord. Let's not be like that. Let's be the ones that says, you know what? I'm going to keep a Sabbath. I'm going to have an intermission. I'm going to have a time set aside that I worship the Lord. Now, our time here set at the church, Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Those are two times in the week that you can come here and take time to just spend time with the Lord. Amen? Come on, stand to your feet with me. We're going to go home. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, bless you, and praise you, God. We thank you, Lord God, that you did establish the Sabbath so that we could have a time of rest. Father, so that we would be mindful of you and take time to think about you and reverence you. We thank you, Father God, for all that you're doing here in this house. And so tonight, Father, as we reference you, we thank you, Lord God, that you're pouring out your Spirit. Even as we speak, thank you, Father God, Lord, that as we follow you, we become more like you. And thank you, Father God, as we keep your commandments, we watch and see as we make you a delight. We are delighted in you, and we give you glory and thank you for that. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, we're in this place. If you need prayer, you need us to lay hands on you, believe God with you, we want to give you an opportunity. If you're here, you need Jesus in your life. This is the best time in the world. This is a Wednesday night. Amen. Nothing like getting saved on a Wednesday night. I got saved through the week. Went to a revival. I can't tell you. It's been a long time. I was 17 years old. I don't remember what night it was.